Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last night, we spent a few moments considering the first two words or sayings that Jesus spoke from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And to the thief, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This evening, we'll spend a moment considering the next three words. The third word of Jesus is recorded only by the Apostle John. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. And we're told that there were several believing women there at the foot of the cross of Jesus, along with the Apostle John, who often referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was almost certainly the youngest of the disciples, maybe a late teenager even, and possibly also a cousin of Jesus on Joseph's side. The Romanists insist that with this word of Jesus from the cross, he is giving Mary to the church to take into our homes as our mediatrix, to pray to her in our needs. But there's no indication of anything symbolic like that in these verses, especially given the explanation that John literally took Mary into his home from that moment. So what is Jesus doing here? He's seeing to it that his earthly mother, the one whom he was charged by his Father in heaven to honor in the fourth commandment, was taken care of after he was gone by the disciple to whom he was closest in this life and to whom he himself, as the Lord of the church, would grant the longest life on earth to be there to care for Mary for the rest of her earthly life. Truly, Christ was an obedient, loving son, both to his Father in heaven and to his mother on earth. It's that very obedience, that very righteousness, that genuine love from the heart that covers all who believe and are baptized, as if we had all been perfectly obedient, perfectly righteous sons and daughters in the eyes of God. If Jesus was this devoted to honoring his mother while he was hanging from a cross, what honor will you not show to your father and mother and to your Father in heaven? What honor have you not shown? That's, again, as we said last night, why you need the atoning death of Christ and his perfect righteousness to show you what true love looks like, to show you how far short you have fallen of God's command and how you've earned his wrath for yourself, to show you how Christ made amends for your sins and makes you acceptable to God through faith in him, and to show you how to love as your Savior did and does. Now, the first three words from the cross were all spoken before noon, in the first few hours of Jesus hanging on the cross, which began at about 9 in the morning. From about noon until 3, as Luke numbers the hours, the sixth hour until the ninth hour, on that Good Friday, darkness covered the earth, and Jesus suffered in silence. As we heard on Sunday morning, outside in the courtyard, that prophecy from the prophet Zechariah, it shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. Then at about 3 in the afternoon, The last four words were spoken in quick succession. The fourth word, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those are the first words of Psalm 22, the words of the Messiah at the very end of his suffering, spoken in Aramaic, which was probably Jesus' first language, the language of his heart. This is the prayer of the innocent man whom God still causes to suffer. The innocent man who feels the full weight of the injustice of his crucifixion, knowing that he didn't deserve this from God or man, knowing that his Father could have removed it, but didn't. But it was the Father's will to crush him, Isaiah wrote in chapter 53, that we who deserve that punishment justly might go free. And yet you have to know the rest of Psalm 22 to understand Jesus isn't whining here on the cross. He isn't blaming God as if God were unjust. On the contrary, the psalm goes on, "You have answered me, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted one, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard." Jesus knows that his Father is about to deliver him from his suffering. God is about to receive his soul in death and thus seal him as the Redeemer of the world. So it seems that after Jesus spoke that fourth word, that's when the darkness lifted. As Zechariah prophesied, "But at evening time it shall happen that it will be light." The Father heard the cry of the Son. And John is the one who records that Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Again, continuing with the same Psalm 22, which described ahead of time the Messiah's anguish, his crucifixion, and the taunts and the jeers of his enemies, Jesus is experiencing exactly what the psalm predicted. "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws." So with his fifth word, he called out softly for a drink, "I'm thirsty," preparing to cry out the sixth and possibly the greatest word in a loud voice, in a loud cry. We'll wait till Good Friday to hear that word. Of course, it wasn't a drink of cool water that they provided to Jesus in his anguish, but a taste of sour wine, a form of vinegar, lifted up to his mouth on a sponge, on a pole made of hyssop. Even that was in fulfillment of prophecy, a prophecy from Psalm 69. "You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." No, Jesus had no one to comfort him or pity him in those final moments. But no matter, he had accomplished his mission. He had fulfilled his Father's will and every Old Testament prophecy to the letter. Let these three words of the cross give you hope. The perfect Son fulfilled everything the law required of him and of you, providing you with a perfect robe of righteousness to wear before God all the days of your life by believing in him. He suffered unjustly and felt the weight of it. But it had to be that way, the just suffering for the unjust, to bring you to God. And his cry of thirst sealed the final prophecy that he had to fulfill on this earth so that he could be the source of living waters to all who thirst for righteousness. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.